We've been working through the book of Acts a little bit at a time and using some of the accounts and some of the stories that we read there to have a sense of how Jesus made a difference in the lives of those first believers and how he continues to make a difference in the in our lives today in different areas. I want us to go today to Acts chapter 16. Paul, we saw, met him last week. He was first known as Saul. But as he moved out into the Gentile world on different mission trips, he began going by the name of Paul. It's a Greek version of the name Saul. And when he was in Philippi, he was encountered by a young woman who was a slave woman who was demon-possessed and because of that demon had people believing that she could tell the future. And so her owners made a lot of money by selling those services to other people. And she began to follow along with Paul and began to kind of shout out who he was. And it says that Paul kind of became kind of annoyed by this. And so he cast the demon out. Her owners quickly realized that their source of making money was now gone. And so they rounded up Paul and his companion Silas, and they had them taken before the authorities, who beat them and who threw them into prison and put their feet even in stocks. And in verse 25, we read this. At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. In what I would consider to be a very stressful situation, Paul and Silas seem to be at rest, at peace. They are singing hymns, and their countenance is such that the other prisoners are kind of leaning in. They're listening. This is something different. Most people aren't singing praises when they're in prison and their feet are locked up. But yet Paul and Silas were. So how did they find this rest and this peace in this time of stress? Well, obviously Jesus was making the difference for them. And he can make the difference for us as well. Especially in this very stressful time of kind of being locked in. And maybe that's how you're feeling right now. You're locked in, and the other prisoners you're locked in with, you're starting to get on one another's nerves a little bit. And you're not singing hymns of praise. You're maybe sputtering out some other things as you kind of rub shoulders just a little bit too much. Or maybe you've just got the other problem. You feel locked away, locked out. You're on your own. You're not with the people that you love to be with, want to be with, especially on this day, on Mother's Day. You probably had years and years of experiences of being together. This was, ladies, for you, many times, this was your special day, and you're not experiencing that. And so that makes this day a hard day. But yet we can find rest and peace in such a day. And to help us see how we can do that, we've asked Claudia Mitchell to speak to us on this. Many of you may remember Claudia from her time as Ellettsville Christian Church's children's minister. And then she went from here to be the women's minister at Sherwood Oaks Christian Church. And Claudia has tremendous experience in leading teams, working in public education, children's and women's ministry, and marriage and family counseling. In addition to her degree in elementary education, she has a master's in marriage and family counseling. So I'm confident that you will be encouraged in this time of stress by what she has to say to us today, what she's going to remind us from Scripture. So let's have a prayer, then we're going to sing another song, and then we're going to hear from Claudia. And then I'll see you after communion with an update on our plans. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being with us and being a part of what we're doing today. That even when we can't be together as a body of believers, we can still be connected as we worship because your Spirit binds us together. And as we look for those ways that we can love one another in this new time, in this new season. So guide us, Father, and help us to find some peace and rest, even in a season of stress. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. I'm so honored to be with the Ellettsville Christian Church family today. What a joy. More years ago than I want to admit to you right now, I was invited to be on staff here at the church to trade my summers off teaching first grade for the exciting career in children's ministry. It was quite an experience. Scotty Richmond and the elders offered amazing support to me, and miracles happened. As a church team, we serve God's precious children. So I'm just so glad to be here. My mother, Pat Kane, who some of you probably had in preschool and remember her well, was promoted in January. And she served as a preschool teacher here during the time I was. I found a journal just recently that she had written in. It was called Your Life Story. And one of the questions asked was, did you ever feel God had a special calling on your life? She wrote this in her journal. I always wanted to be a teacher, but wasn't able to go to college. We simply couldn't have afforded it. But I did get to be a teacher. I taught preschool for several years. So my mother would love the fact that I'm here with you today, especially on Mother's Day. So if you're a mom, have a mom, or you're like me, missing your mom a lot today, grace and peace to you on this day, this special day that we celebrate mamas. And if you're watching with your mom, turn to her right now and say, Happy Mother's Day, Mom. You're the best. You know, Mother's Day is a great day to talk about rocking chairs. I love rocking chairs. I have loved rocking chairs for as long as I can remember. When I was little, my mom said she rocked me till my feet drug the floor. And I carried on that tradition. I rocked my boys and my grandchildren till their feet drug the floor. I love rocking. It's amazing what happens if you put a baby in a mama's arms. Have you ever watched? No matter how old they are or even how young, a baby in a mama's arms is sort of an innate reflex, and they begin to move side to side to side with a rocking motion. It always gives me a picture of Noah's Ark, the way I pictured it. The animals are all fed and sleeping, and Mrs. Noah sits down in a rocking chair with her youngest, and the boat is swaying side to side. The cold rain is hitting the boat. My goodness, the warmth, the protection, the love she must have felt. Makes me sleepy thinking about it right now. The rocking chair began in 1819 when Michael Thorne did some experiments with steaming and bending wood. Writers, politicians, artists have all had their pictures taken in rocking chairs. John F. Kennedy, he used the rocking chair as therapy for his back. Eisenhower, Reagan, and Mark Twain loved to rock. Abraham Lincoln loved rocking chairs so much that an American-style rocker is called the Lincoln Rocker. You know, when London was born, I took 2 weeks off and headed to Beloit, Wisconsin. I was invited to care for her. I was so excited. Part of my job was a 2 a.m. feeding. My son John gave me some strict instructions about this feeding. Now, Mom, we want you to feed London and change her diaper, feed her, and put her right to bed because we don't want her to get in the habit of being rocked every night at 2 a.m. Gotcha, son, I said. I was so excited that night. I could hardly sleep. I can remember thinking, come on, little darling, wake up. Your Nana wants to hold you. And when she did, I changed her diaper, I gave her her bottle, and I began to rock. And those sweet baby blue eyes looked up at me, and I knew she was loved. I just knew it. So I started to sing. I couldn't help myself. The same song I sang to my boys, something like this. I love you and Jesus loves you and that's the way it's gonna be. And when I did, her little body relaxed. And her eyes got heavy. And she was so precious with her little neck snuggled against my chest. I knew I could not put her back to bed. And this is what else I knew. They would never know. So don't ever tell them. But I rocked and rocked and rocked that sweet baby, singing over this child I love so much. And I was overwhelmed all of a sudden with a scripture that came to my mind that I didn't even know I knew. And it was Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. This felt like a magical verse of deep, passionate love of God for me. I wanted to grasp this verse with both hands and hang on. I wanted to breathe it in and savor it like the smell of my Sunday roast. I had this core thought growing up that to receive God's love, I had to do something. I had to be something. I had to perform in some way and produce something. But in that moment, something deep inside me changed. I relaxed in the stillness and the thought that as I was singing over the one I loved, that God was singing over me. It hit me that God didn't have a scorecard. He doesn't give grades or even do performance reviews. He doesn't label. He doesn't care about titles. He just loves us. And as his kids, he's singing over us right now. Gosh, it almost brings tears in my eyes thinking about that moment. I don't ever want to forget it. I want it to burn in my heart. It reminds me of this quote I recently read by Richard Rohr. Most of us were taught that God would love us if and when we change. In fact, God loves us so much that we can change. What empowers change, what makes you desirous of change, is the experience of love. It is the inherent experience of love that becomes the engine of change. I think that this love of God is so powerful, if we got it all at once, we would explode like something from an Indiana Jones movie. So instead, we get it little bits of time like laser beams coming straight to our hearts. I hope you can get one this very moment. It's a powerful engine of heart change. And that day, I had two thoughts. Thank you for letting me share them with you right now. The Lord your God is with you. He will quiet you with his love. You know, what does it mean for God to be with us? This truth, God with us, changes everything. It changes everything we are and everything we're not and everything we hope to be. It makes the difference between stress and rest in our one and only lives on earth. John and Reese were fishing at Shacamack State Park on a beautiful summer evening. Reese asked his dad the same question that we have all asked at one time or other. Hey, Dad, is God here or is God somewhere else? My son paused, and then he said to Reese, God is here, Reese. God is right here. The song, the love song in Jeremiah reminds us that the immense spaciousness of infinite true love transforms everything. It changes how we live our everyday lives. It grounds us and our world becomes a safe, enchanted place to be. The answer John gave Reese, God is here, is our answer. It's yours and mine, and it makes the difference in our lives. Jesus, whose very name means God with us, is here now, closer than the air we breathe. He is in all things, through all things, with all things, a part of all things. In him we live and breathe and have our being. Dallas Willard says, knowing God is with us is the basis of all physical, mental, and spiritual health. It reminds us that no matter what is going on in the world around us, this world is a perfectly safe place to be. And wow, we need to know that now, because this moment in time we are experiencing together has made it crystal clear that we are all connected and we need each other as together we walk through our first pandemic. The COVID-19 virus is a picture of unprecedented, unpredictable, uncompromising, unrelenting moments in history. For sure, the time is scary. 11-year-old Reese walked in the house and he said, why is there a leaderboard on the TV showing death? That's freaky. Indeed, it is. This virus has felt to me like nature's fury ripping through our world. It changed our plans, endangered the lives of those we hold dear, leaving us homebound and confused, like a whirlwind changing everything in a way we couldn't have imagined a few months ago. Any chance you're like me, like and many that I've talked to in counseling calls recently, wrestling with emotions that have been buried deep in what my Nana would have defined as a tipsy-turvy, chaotic world? What I'm noticing is all those emotions that we have stuffed down, feelings that we maybe haven't had time to deal with, are projecting out of some of us right now, just like a baby who hurls unexpected spit up. They can show up on those close to us, leaving an abiding stain and a smell. As out of nowhere, disappointment can roar in with earth-shattering thunder as we struggle with, this isn't how I thought my life would be. Lisa Turkus writes about it in a book she wrote called It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. Disappointment. It's that feeling things should be better than they are, she writes. People should be better than they are. Circumstances should be better than they are. Finances should be better than they are. Relationships should be better than they are. Disappointment isn't proof that God is withholding good things from us. Sometimes it's his way of leading us closer. We've all stood by helpless and watched from a distance the death of hope, the collapse of a dream, the entombment of something or someone good. You and I have seen it in our lives and in our world, a world full of greed, world of fear, world of hunger and violence and injustice. Those willing to stand firm when the ground and fear is shaking us are those who know what we know. God is here and God is with us. And we hang on to that anchor that we're not alone in the world and we're love and God is singing over us, for us. That makes us and for each other, which we need to be for such a time as this. I know Byron has been teaching from Acts 4:32. Reminding all of us that we are one big family and we're called to take care of each other. And if by some chance you have not taken Byron's challenge to check on 5 people today, Mother's Day is a great day to reach out. As Troy mentioned, it's a difficult time for many moms dealing with grief and disappointment. And the body of Christ needs to rise up right now and be God's love in action. Jesus reminds us that we need to stay close. He said, remain in me and I'll remain in you. He compares it to a vine giving life and strength to the branches so they can bear fruit. You know, the branch doesn't bear fruit by effort, struggling for sunshine and air. The fruit grows in the quiet. So, let's pause for a minute. Let's just pause. What we know is the difference between stress and rest happens in the quiet. It's an ancient biblical wisdom that we can all share and understand. You know, Psalm 46:10 has been called Luther's psalm. It's a song that he was to sing in trouble when times were dark, when people were disheartened and sad. He was accustomed to say to his fellow laborers, come, let's sing the 46th psalm. This psalm is all about security with God, that God is our true home. And it's mostly written in third person. But you know, while I was studying to talk to you today, I had goosebumps when I was reading Psalm 46:10 and realized that the 10th verse is no longer written in first person. It's in quotes. It's like God is speaking. And what he says is, be still and know. And what do we know in the stillness? We know the Lord is our God. Be still and know I am God. And that changes everything. Dallas Willard says, in the stillness, when you get really quiet and you realize that God is near, it's like you're playing tag with God and God is saying to you, tag. You are not it. And that's such a restful feeling to know that someone else is in control. You know, that thought that I had while I was singing over London, the experience of feeling that God was singing over me at the same time, to this moment makes me laugh. It calms my anxious spirit, and it fills me with such joy, I want to splash it out of me into the world around me. It reminds me of my favorite picture and quote. May we be people that you're seeing here right now. My favorite quote. What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters to what lies within us. May we be people who splash out living water in the world around us because we've been still and because we know. May we be a non-anxious presence in this anxious world. I'm going to end with this little piece from what Margaret Fenberg writes. I would hope people would look at the church and say this. Those people run in when everyone else runs out. We don't give up on the crumbling cities. Those people put an end to human trafficking. Those people are the ones who write incredible lyrics, pen unforgettable books, and create art that mesmerizes. Those Christ followers are the ones who helped my mom when she had Alzheimer's. They were kind to me when I was new to the area. Those people are the ones who led me to Jesus. So let's just take a few minutes right now. Shh, be quiet. And you're going to hear, you're going to meet one of my favorite people on the planet. And she's going to lead us into communion where we can remember that the Lord, the God that we love, is with us right now, closer than the air we breathe.
Hi, I'm London, and yes, it's true that my Nana rocked me until my feet drug the ground. Now is the time to know that God is with us. This morning as we celebrate communion, it doesn't matter whether you have grape juice and bread or you have coffee and crackers. Just remember that it's a time to be still and remember. This meal that we share is a time to remember that God is with us, that God loves us, and that God is good. This morning, my Nana and I will be praying. May you know that you don't have to be anything or do anything for God to love you, because He already does. May you be able to stand through the disappointment and the fear, knowing you're not alone, because God is with you. And may you splash out joy and peace and grace onto a dry and thirsty world. Let it be so. Amen.